we're continuing our coverage of the coronavirus pandemic with a look at how it's impacting the arts. In a few minutes, we'll speak with two independent artists locally. But first, Anita Walker, executive director of the Mass Cultural Council, joins us. Anita, welcome to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So maybe, Anita, begin by giving us the overall picture. How does it look for our cultural institutions in the Commonwealth?
Well, it's a dire situation. In fact, it's the most unprecedented damage that's been done by the economy and this pandemic that, quite frankly, I've seen in my entire career. Just a couple of weeks into the closing of our organizations and the pandemic really becoming reality here in Massachusetts, we issued a survey to individual artists and to organizations in the Commonwealth, asking them to tell us how they felt and what the impact has been. This was just maybe 2 weeks into the coronavirus reaching Massachusetts. We had more than 1,000 respondents to our surveys, which is quite surprising and stunning response as far as we were concerned. And even just a couple of weeks into the coronavirus hitting Massachusetts, we had already measured nearly $56 million of revenue losses to our organizations. That's real losses in real time, not projected losses, losses already to these institutions. And millions of dollars in income had been lost to our individual working artists and cultural workers.
Let's pick up there for a second, Anita, just because last week MassMoca laid off 120 of its 165 employees. You're talking about losses to individuals. That's the first major Massachusetts museum to do this kind of wide-scale layoff since the pandemic began. Is there more of that coming? Are we going to see more unemployment among the cultural institutions as well as loss of income for individual artists?
We're already seeing it. As a matter of fact, the Box Center in Boston laid off half of its staff a week ago Friday, and that's maybe about 50 people that are working regularly at the Box Center, but it doesn't even mention the hundreds and hundreds of other workers who would have had a job on the some 70 performances that have been canceled as a result of the coronavirus. Jacob's Pillow has canceled its season in the Berkshires for the first time in its entire history. They typically have over 100 people in residence at Jacob's Pillow. And that doesn't even bring into mind the ripple effect on hotels, on restaurants, on all the other businesses that really derive a lot of their income from the presence of these cultural assets.
Anita, I know you were part of a listening session today. There were members of the state legislature, and it was on the economic impacts on our cultural sector. From that, what help is out there? What's in the pipeline? What's coming?
Well, I was really interested to the conversation that you were just having with Congressman McGovern about the economic stimulus bill. One of the pieces of that bill that we're paying close attention to is the one coming through the SBA that would provide a loan to cover 3 or 4 months of losses to small businesses and nonprofits, including our cultural nonprofit sector. There's just shy of $400 billion in that bill, and it's available to every single small business, small being defined as having 500 or fewer employees, and every single nonprofit in America. That is not going to go as far as it needs to. What we're doing at the Mass Cultural Council is we're addressing this in two ways. Next week, we are putting it forth our council meeting for approval, two relief programs. One is aimed at individual artists, and it would provide $1,000 grants to working artists who can attest to the fact that they've lost at least $1,000 of income, which is not going to be difficult for most of them. Equally for cultural workers, independent contractors, teaching artists, and the like. Then in terms of our organizations, we're really putting a package together to help them navigate and find safe harbor in these very difficult times. We call the program Safe Harbor. It will provide intensive technical assistance to, first of all, assess and evaluate their current financial states, how to make decisions, how to create scenarios, and how to tell their story. But importantly, it will also give them very specific technical assistance and advice on how to access and apply for these federal stimulus funds.
So Anita,
in addition to that, we are also providing flat grants to probably between 300 and 400 organizations in the Commonwealth.
So in our last 30 seconds or so with you, Anita, where are you finding hope right now?
I'm finding hope in our field. They are so resilient. They are hard hit. They are really damaged, but they are not stopping the work. They know how important and meaningful their work is, especially at a time like this when people are sequestered at home. So they're finding new and creative ways to deliver music, to deliver arts, to continue the relationship with children who they used to serve in the classroom. It's amazing to me the optimism and innovation. Well, it's not amazing because that's who they are. They are continuing to serve our public.
Thanks so much. That's Anita Walker, Executive Director of the Massachusetts, the Mass Cultural Council. Appreciate it, Anita.
Thank you.
So let's turn now to two independent artists. Photographer OJ Slaughter, they also do freelance photography for WBUR's The Artery, and also Eric Bornstein. He's been working as a mask maker in Somerville since the 1980s. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So OJ, let's start with you. How are you and how are you faring right now?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not really sure. And I think it changes as the day progresses. I catch myself getting into like a creative rhythm and working with different materials. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I should go outside. And it hits me, the gravity of everything going on. This is my 22nd day inside. So just finding new ways to create and started working on some soft sculpture, which is so new to me. So yeah, finding a little bit of hope in my work.
I'm glad to hear that part. Eric, a lot of your planned income has evaporated. What are you focused on right now and what's your biggest concern?
Well, right now I'm emerging from my cocoon. You know, about 4 weeks ago, we were just stunned with this news. I was just pulling into my driveway on a Thursday. I had a week-long residency. And when I pulled into my driveway, I got the phone call not to come in on Friday. And that was the day everything froze. And then from that moment on, it just escalated. All my future bookings just evaporated. And I was actively engaged in booking summer and even 2021 dates. And that all just ceased. Everything just got put on hold. Classes that were scheduled were canceled. I had a new semester of classes that was supposed to begin April 8th, and that all has gone away. All those classes are canceled now. I'm trying to adapt to the situation here with Zoom. I just got off of a Zoom studio chat. I pulled out some works that I've been doing and did kind of a show and tell and talk about my work and how I do it and why I do it, and then also why it's important to do it in this particular trying times.
Thanks for that, Eric. So, OJ, I want to pick up on something you said where you talked about essentially a new medium that you were working in. This is an unprecedented moment. I don't know you, but I'm assuming you haven't been through a lot of other things like this. How does that affect how you engage with your art, your creative process, and how does your creative process feed you now?
I think, so I am an extrovert, but I wouldn't say I'm incredibly social. I get a lot of my social time through taking pictures of people. A lot of the base of my work is kind of documenting history as it happens. And without being able to connect physically in person with people, I've had to change my medium through shooting people through FaceTime. So I've been doing a lot of like call people up, pose people, style them, and adjust the lighting in their own room and shooting them that way so that I'm still having this social time and allowing myself to document history in another way. But I also found that my eyes were constantly on the screen, so I started sewing. Not very well, but I am making like little characters and stuffed sculptures that are kind of helping me pass time.
And Eric, how about you?
Well, like this morning, I taught a self-portrait drawing class. I set up a tripod in my studio and a little table easel, 9 by 11 drawing pad, and a mirror, and designed a little four-session curriculum. And so this was the first one, and it went really well. I think with Zoom, I occasionally have some problems with freezing, but it was a successful class, and we got a lot done, and I follow up on Facebook. I'm starting to engage my Facebook followers. very differently. Everything has kind of shifted because we're talking about, I mean, our art is dealing with the here and now in a very poignant way. And everything that we do is we're acting as role models for hope and creativity, for trying to find a way through this. We're all groping our way in the dark and just sort of feeling into the future. We're not really sure what we're doing, but we're kind of listening to the process and getting more and more tuned in to how to shape shift and how to recreate ourselves to move forward.
Oh, Jay. But of course, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah. But of course, in the meanwhile, the bills are still piling up. And while we find ourselves, we have to find new ways to generate income.
So, OJ, to that point, we heard Anita at the top of this segment from the Mass Cultural Council talking about the level of hit, economic hit to our cultural institutions and our artists. What do you need most from people in our community now?
That's a great question. I found about half of my annual salary has disappeared because of social distancing and because of canceling all of these events, which of course needs to happen. I think the best way to support me right now is you can buy my prints, which is really helping create a cushion for me financially, and that can be done on my website, which is just ojslaughter.com. But I also think it comes down to like just checking in with people, like make sure that you're supporting your community on a larger level than a financial level. Sometimes really just like reaching out and being like, hey, are you good? Do you need anything? means so much in these times.
And Eric, in your comments so far, you've really brought home on an individual and a personal level what the economic risk and the economic loss is to our cultural institutions and to our individual artists. As of last week, you had not applied for any grants or anything like that. We heard Anita talk today, for example, about the loans available through the SBA. Will you move in that direction at some point? Will you start seeking financial relief through various programs and opportunities?
Yes, I'll have to. And in fact, it's long overdue. I'm just not, like so many artists, I'm really not good at filling out those forms and applications. It creates even a higher level of anxiety just to seek them out and fill them out and try to complete them properly. It's often as artists, we're so good at creating magic in our studios with our chosen art form, but filling out these forms and applications is often paralyzing. And so I've been doing everything else, but I haven't gotten to any of those yet. But I do hope to.
When this passes, and I stay optimistic that I can phrase it that way, and you have an opportunity, yeah, both of you, to bring your art back out in the world, out of the virtual world and into the tactile world, what's the first thing each of you wants to do? OJ?
So my happy place in Boston is the Arboretum. I would love to just get a bunch of people together and make magic in the Arboretum. Like, just be in my space and connect with others. I so miss leaning on my community in person. Even if I'm not creating, I'd love to make a meal and just see people and catch up. I think that'll be my first step, especially since people are what fuels my creativity. I think that's what's most important to me.
And Eric, how about you?
Well, I'd like to join OJ at the Arboretum, one of my happy places too. And in fact, all the happy places, mostly, you know, when I think of the happy places, it's usually places in nature. I need them more than ever. They're always places that replenish my soul. And I think we all need them more than ever. Just the freedom to be out and to just be without this hanging over us. I'm just longing for the company of my community, and even on Zoom, it's so nice to hear people's voices and see their faces.
That's
to see them in person will be so nice. To get hugs, I miss hugs.
You know, I
Me
do too, Eric. Yeah, Eric, I think you've tapped into it for all of us with that. That's Somerville-based puppeteer and mask maker Eric Bornstein. We'll have information about his work and drawing classes at RadioBoston.org. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you so much.
And photographer O.J. Slaughter. For a link to view or purchase their work, you can also visit our website, radioboston.org, and we'll include more information about the Arteries Living Room live stream with O.J., which will kick off on Friday.